Today is Wednesday, October 30th, Leil Bet Cheshvan. This is the women's Gemara share. We're doing the topic of Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana.
Okay, Rabbi Chaim. Last week, we began a topic identified as whether Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. We saw a variety of sugyot that either led us to the one impression or another impression. And we also discussed, when we saw those, is it possible that the cases that we examined might not represent the rule, but might be an exception to the rule? So, for example, we read a Gemara concerning the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The Mishnah said, "Hayakorei batora, vihigiyas mana mikra." Somebody is just thumbing through the Chumash, and it happens to be that Zman Kriya Shema arrived. So the Mishnah said, "Im kivein libo yotza." If he had kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, he is yotze. Well, you can't get any clearer than that. Seems to be mitzvot tzrichot kavana. The Gemara rejected that and said it ain't necessarily so. It could very well be that the kavana, which the Mishnah refers to, is the kavana to read. What do I mean, kavana to read? Because this person was not actually reading it in a normal fashion. He was checking the Sefer Torah to see that all of the letters are indeed there. So he reads it slowly. Ukshar tam le'ot al yadecha. It's not the purpose to read, but the purpose is to see whether or not that is all the letters are there. Or maybe it is an extra letter. So under those circumstances, the word imkivein does not necessarily mean kavanah to be yotze the mitzvah, but imkivein means if he had kavanah to read. That's all he has to do, is have kavanah to read and not to repair. And that once he has kavanah to read, you will fulfill the mitzvah, despite the fact that you don't have any kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah. So it is possible that the source which we looked at in Masechet Brachot does not convince us one way or the other whether or not mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Anybody remember a second case which we examined? Second case. What? Good. So the Mishnah talked about somebody going to the movies on Rosh Hashanah. And he happens to be walking by the Beit Knesset. And he hears them blowing Tkiya, Shvarim, Trua, Tkiya, and whatever else you require. So the Mishnah says, Im kivein libo yatsa. If on his way to the movie, or the golf course, he had in mind to be yotze the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar, he has fulfilled his obligation. But if he does not have that in mind, he does not. That would seem to indicate that you do require kavana. However, we reject that as well, because that might be a different type of a case. In that situation, the person fulfilling the mitzvah is not doing the action of the mitzvah. Somebody else is blowing the shofar. So perhaps under those circumstances, everyone would agree that where you don't do the action of the mitzvah itself, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah unless you have kavana. You cannot. So even if we were to conclude that that case of shofar, of the guy walking by the shul, and he had in mind, he's listening to the sound of the shofar, that may not necessarily clinch for us on a regular basis, do you require kavana or not? Maybe yes, maybe no. There, you certainly do require kavana. Why? Based on the fact that you're not doing the action. The Baal Tokeya is. All you're doing is standing there like a lemichel. doing absolutely nothing. So since you're doing nothing, in order to enable you to fulfill the mitzvah, you must have kavana under those circumstances. What other case did we see?
Matzah.
The Gemara had said, Kafuhu parsiyim le'echol matzah. If the Persian, whoever it is, a Gentile, took a piece of matzah, a kezayis worth, crushed it up, and shoved it down your throat. So the Gemara says, you are yotzei the mitzvah. Kafuhu parsiyim le'echol matzah. You have fulfilled the mitzvah. That should certainly lead us to the conclusion that you don't need kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah. Why don't you need kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah? Because in this case, he's not having any kavana. He was doing whatever he was doing. Somebody crushed up the matzah, opened up his mouth, and shoved it down his throat. There's no kavana there. And nonetheless, the Gemara said, you are yotzei the mitzvah. So we rejected that one as well. Because it is possible, by mitzvot of eating, you don't need kavana only by mitzvot of eating. Why should eating be a different category? Because in relationship to another halacha, eating is also an exception to the rule. What is the case of eating where it's an exception to the rule? Misasek. Misasek. Misasek means you planned on doing something permissible and you wound up doing something prohibited. What was that? No, the tomatoes. The tomatoes in the backyard. Tomatoes in the backyard. And what do you want? What do you need the tomatoes for? Don't get it wrong. Chopped liver. Chopped liver. Good. You have to know the case. You needed it for Shabbos morning. So on Friday afternoon, I went to my tomato patch in the backyard and cut all of my tomatoes off, and I left them there. Next morning, after Shacharis, after Musaf, I come home, I dish out the chopped liver, and now I go to the backyard to pick up some tomatoes to distribute. Lo and behold, the one that I picked up was the one I did not cut. I didn't cut it. I did not cut it. So, under normal circumstances, where whenever you intend to do an aveira, whenever you intend to do something permissible, and you wound up doing an aveira, you don't violate a thing. You don't have to seek kapara, you don't have to bring a korban chatas, because your intention was to do a permissible activity. The only exception to that rule is when you are eating. When you're eating. Food. Not the case of the chopped liver. Because there the malacha involved was not eating. The malacha involved was cutting tomatoes which were attached to the ground. So what is a case of... The fat case. Exactly. There are certain fats within an animal that we are allowed to eat. That's called shuman. Shuman is the Hebrew word for fat that the Torah permits. Chelev is the word which the Torah uses for the types of fat that are prohibited. So if I pick up a piece of fat, and I think this is shuman, kosher fat, and it turns out to be what? It turns out to be chelev, I don't violate a thing. Nothing. But I do. Why? In theory, it should be exactly like the case of picking the tomatoes. The problem is, it's eating. And when you eat, even in the absence of intention to violate the aveira, in the absence of intention, nonetheless, I will violate the isur of eating chelev, and I will have to bring a korban chatas. So, the Magid Mishnah said that if the absence of kavanah by eating can generate a prohibition and mandate that you bring a karban chatas, therefore kavanah plays no role. So if kavanah plays no role, I can say the same thing is true when it comes to fulfill a mitzvah. Kavanah is of no significance whatsoever. And that even if I had no kavanah whatsoever to eat, certainly not for a mitzvah, under those circumstances, I would be chayiv. In which case, I would be mekayim a mitzvah as well. I would be mekayim the mitzvah as well in the absence of kavanah. So that particular case of where somebody crushed up the matzah and shoved it into your throat, there is no proof from that case that every other case does not require kavanah. It's an exception to the rule. What is the exception? Food-related mitzvot. So food-related mitzvot and food-related aveirot are exceptions to the rule about kavanah. Exceptions to the rule of kavanah. And therefore, you can't learn a thing from that particular case either. The last case that we dealt with, and I'm going to resume with that today because this is going to be subject to a machlokes between Tosvot and others, how to interpret the machloket. The machloket is between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. So take today's handout. And it's talking about a situation where I do not have a second vegetable Seder night. I don't have a second vegetable. So I have to eat maror, not only for maror, but I have to eat maror for karpas as well. So I'm eating romaine lettuce for maror and eating romaine lettuce for karpas. So the question which will be debated is, have I fulfilled the mitzvah of maror when I ate the karpas? Did I fulfill the mitzvah or not? Okay, so let's see. Now we're going to read the Gemara. So we are on page 1, about 5 lines from the bottom. It is bracketed, the word pshita. Pshita. It is abundantly evident, simple. Heicha de'ika shar yirakot. Where there are other vegetables. There is at least 2 vegetables in the house. Mivarech asha'ar yirakot borei pri hadama. You make a bracha at karpas time, just borei pri hadama, as we all do. And the ochil. And then you eat the karpas. The hadar mivarech al achilas maror the ochil. And then later, in the middle of the seuda, after you eat matzah, you eat the second vegetable that you have, something that's acceptable for maror, you eat the maror. Everybody knows that. That if you have 2 vegetables, the first one is for the mitzvah of karpas, and you make just the borei pri hadama. And then, by the time you get to maror, you don't make a second borei pri hadama. You make just al achilas maror, and you eat the second vegetable to fulfill the mitzvah of maror. So what do you do? Mivarech ayurakas borei pri hadama ve'achil. The hadar mivarech al achilas maror ve'achil. And then when maror is scheduled, I eat maror and I make the bracha. That's when I have 2 vegetables. However, heicha dileka elo chasa. Chasa is lettuce. I only have lettuce. Only have lettuce. My, how should I conduct myself? Omar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, Mivarech mi'ikara amaror bere priyadama ve'achil. You make a borei pri adama at karpas. At karpas. And eat the romaine lettuce. Ulubisof. And at the end, later on, in the middle of the meal, like we would have thought you do, you take again lettuce, and what do? You say, alachilas morar. Ulubisof mivarech aleha alachilas morar ve'achil. Fine. So Rav Huna seems to be very, very logical. However, maskif lo Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda challenges Rav Huna. Le'achar shemile kreso heimenu. After you stuffed yourself with karpas, after you stuffed yourself with karpas, top of the page, on the next side. Me'la'achar shemile kreso heimenu. After you stuffed yourself with karpas, with maror, where? At karpas. Choser u'mivarech aleha. Then you're going to make another bracha of alachilas maror, if you already ate all the maror you wanted at karpas? How's that possible? Ela amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, mi ikara mivarech aleha boirei pri adama ve'alachilas maror ve'achil. Ulebisof achil achilas chasa below bracha. What does Rav Chisda say? At karpas time, you make borei pri adama and alachilas morar. And seemingly, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of morar at that time. Then, when morar comes after matzah, I eat another kezayis of morar, and I don't make any bracha whatsoever. So why am I eating the second maror if I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah of maror? Why am I bothering to eat another kezayis of maror? Good, because the halacha says you're supposed to dip twice. Once karpas in salt water, and the other time maror in charoses. But even though technically, and that's the way Tosfos is going to learn, I already fulfilled my mitzvah of maror when I ate karpas. I already fulfilled my mitzvah of maror when I ate karpas. Yes?
So this proves what we said. This proves that with food, we don't need kavana. Because if we were going to have kavana, then I could simply just say, right now I'm having kavana to eat lettuce for karpas.
Good.
Good.
But Tosfos doesn't want to buy into that food is an exception. He doesn't. He just wants to say Rav Chisda proves the general rule. What's the general rule? What's the general rule? Mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. You don't need kavana to be yotzei a mitzvah. So when I'm eating karpas, was my mind on maror? Of course not. My mind was on what? On karpas, not maror.
Except that when we say the bracha,
we say
when you say the bracha.
Okay, okay. So hold on. We're not finished. Yes.
But if he would have eaten less than a kezayis, which is what we do.
Okay, forget about that.
Forget that.
We'll operate tonight with Shitas HaRambam and others who say that you must eat a kezayis of karpas.
Oh.
If you ate less than a kezayis, there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
Nothing to talk about. That's correct. But the Gemara is operating on the assumption that you would be making, you would be fulfilling the mitzvah of maror, even because you ate a kezayis at karpas.
Okay.
That's correct. Good. Okay, that's a different issue. What should you do if you ate a kezayis of vegetables before the meal? So normally, if it's because you can't be rely on birchat hamazon to cover the eating of the vegetables beforehand. But that's a different sugya. That's a hilchos brachos issue, not our sugya tonight.
And then if you said for in the kashrut, then if you have more again,
What's the problem?
No, never mind.
It's letters. You don't have to make another brach on letters in the middle of a meal.
Right.
So that's what Rav Chisda says. Says Tosafot on the top of the page on the left-hand side. On the top of the page on the left-hand side. Rav Chisda Nami Nira De Savar Kirish Lakish De Boi Kavana. Rav Chisda claims Tosafot. What is the debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda? What's the debate? What's the debate? Right. So what did Rav Huna say? Rav Huna said, what do you do? On the bottom of the page, what did he say? You make a Bara Pri Adama. And later, what do? You make Alachilas Marar. Good. So, ultimately, what would Rav Huna hold about Kavana by Mitzvos? Does he say you require Kavana?
Yeah, he says,
well, he's giving a...
Tell me why you would say yes, Rav Huna holds you need Kavana. Tell me why.
Because
you need Kavana. And when he ate Karpas, according to whom? According to whom? Rav Huna, did he fulfill the mitzvah of Maror at the time? No. He wasn't thinking about it. Therefore, when you eat the Maror later, which bracha do you say? Alachilas Maror. Alachilas Maror. Claims Tosafot. Well, maybe Rav Chisda says no. Rav Chisda says that when you eat the Maror at Karpas, you make the Alachilas Maror right there and then. Why are you making Alachilas Maror? Must be that what? Mitzvot ain't Srichot Kavana. Just 1 second. Ain't Srichot Kavana. So if they don't require Kavana, so when you put a Kizayis of Maror, of Romaine letters, in your mouth at Karpas time, whether you thought about it or not, you have already fulfilled the mitzvah. So why am I eating a second dose of Maror? Only because I have to make a second tibul to pique the curiosity of children. But I already was Yotzei the mitzvah of Maror at Karpas. And therefore, when did Rav Huna say you're supposed to make the Alachilas Maror? At Karpas. At Karpas. Because Rav Huna holds mitzvos ain't Srichos Kavana. And Rav Chisda holds mitzvos Srichos Kavana. Therefore, since I require Kavana under those circumstances, I did not have Kavana when I ate Karpas to fulfill the mitzvah of Maror. For this reason, when I get to Maror, I have to eat another Kizayis of Maror. That's what Tosfos says. Now, what question would you ask on Rav Chisda then? What question, if we presented Rav Chisda in such a fashion, you have to eat a second Kizayis of Maror later on because mitzvos Srichos Kavana. So what question would you now ask? What question would you now ask on Rav Chisda? When did Rav Chisda say you make the Alachilas Maror? At Karpas.
Why
are you making Alachilas Maror at Karpas? At Karpas, if you're not fulfilling the mitzvah. Yes?
Do you fulfill Karpas?
Yes, of course. But you don't say Alachilas Maror for Karpas.
Right, so doesn't that knock out the performance of Karpas?
No, it doesn't. So Rav Chisda gave a logic. What was Rav Chisda's line? Maskif la Rav Chisda. Le'achar shemile kreso. once you stuffed yourself, after you stuffed yourself with maror at karpas time, chuzer umivarech aleha, you're going to go ahead and what? And make the bracha later on. You already ate 2 pounds of maror. Why are you going to make the bracha later on? Now what kind of an argument is that? I know why you're going to make the bracha later on. Because that's when you're going to fulfill the mitzvah. So there might be a different issue which is running through the debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Nothing to do with mitzvah srichas kavana. It might be a totally different issue. Tosfot said it depends on whether mitzvos tzrichos kavana or ain't tzrichos. Rav Huna holds mitzvos ain't tzrichos kavana. Therefore, make the bracha when you eat. When you eat, no. Rav Huna said mitzvos. Yeah. Mitzvos tzrichos kavana. You make the bracha when you eat.
In the beginning.
No. Rav Huna said you make the bracha later. Rav Chisda says you make it at the beginning.
Right.
Rav Huna said you make it at its scheduled time.
Right.
Scheduled time. Yes.
Why is it not that making the bracha indicates that you have kavana?
That's a good question. It's a very...
Yes, the whole idea, it's like you're thinking this whole time, but the whole idea of making a bracha is to elevate something.
Right.
It's also like when you, like if you're kind of mazonot, okay, you're thinking.
Right.
It's also like if you take, even though you said just holding the lulav is in love.
It's a very...
Elevating something to...
It's a very good question. It's a very good question. It's a good, excellent question. But there is a second way of understanding the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. They both could hold mitzvos tzrichas kavana, and they both could hold mitzvos ain't tzrichas kavana. That's not what they're arguing about. What they're arguing about is when do you make a birchas hamitzvah? Do you make a birchas hamitzvah when you are mikayim a mitzvah? Or do you make a birchas hamitzvah when you do the action of a mitzvah? Okay. So there are two possibilities. Possibility number one is that birchot hamitzvah relate to the moment when you fulfill the mitzvah. Or alternative two is that you make a berachas hamitzvah when you are engaged in the action of a mitzvah, despite the fact that you are not fulfilling the mitzvah as yet.
When you light candles on Shabbos, you say the bracha. So you say the
bracha
for the candles, then you light the candles.
Right. But that's because it's something. So let me give you the case that illustrates this and get to this.
Well, this isn't your WhatsApp also. What? It's about the difference between what establishes and the action isn't always the same. Right?
Correct.
That's what you talked about.
Correct. But here, that will be an illustration of this. Yes, this case will be. So, Rav Huna says, you always make a birchat hamitzvah when you are fulfilling the mitzvah. So when, according to Rav Huna, do you fulfill the mitzvah of maror?
Later.
Later on. Later on. Therefore, you make the bracha later on.
Because
the zman of a bracha is when you fulfill the mitzvah.
Right, but why are you fulfilling the mitzvah later on, as opposed to originally?
Because I hold mitzvah srichas kavana.
Oh.
I could hold that. But that's not the kernel of the debate between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda.
Right.
Rav Chisda says that the bracha of a mitzvah is recited not necessarily when you fulfill the mitzvah, but when you do the action of the mitzvah.
For example,
I'm going to give you an illustration. And when are you doing the action of the mitzvah? In this case, when are you doing the action? At the beginning, you're eating maror for karpas. So I'm eating maror.
Right.
Yeah, but you're eating it again later.
Okay, I know, but when is the bracha? The first time that I do the action of the mitzvah. I agree that I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah until when? Until later on. They both can agree to that. But if you're engaged in the action of a mitzvah, you must make the Birchas HaMitzvah right there and then. So I'm going to give you the case that illustrates it. It's a Machloikis, Toisus, and the Baha'i. Somebody, you sent your kids or grandchildren to camp, and they're on a hike. And they have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Others have jelly and peanut butter. Some have both. That's what they have. And they want to wash. There is no place with a cup. But there is a river. There's a river. So what do? You dip your hands in the river. That's the machloikis. And you make a bracha. Now there is a machloikis between Tosfos and the Bahag. What is the text of the bracha under those circumstances? Tosfos is of the opinion, you say, al tevilat yodayim. Because nitila means litol etakos. That's what nitila means. To take your cup and pour the water over your hands. Well, in this case, I have no cup. So the action which I'm doing is the ma'aset vila. Therefore, Tosafot says, you make a bracha of al tevilas yodayim. The Baal Halachot Gedolot says, no, you say al netilas yodayim. Why? Because there is no mitzvah of tevilas yodayim. There ain't no such mitzvah. To do what?
To
netilat yadayim. That's the mitzvah. So even though you are not using the normal format, the normal action, nonetheless, the kiyum hamitzvah is not being written down that I was mekayim the mitzvah of tefilat yadayim. I was mekayim the mitzvah of netilat yadayim. Same thing here in our case. According to Rav Huna, you are supposed to make the bracha when you are mekayim the mitzvah. So when are you mekayim the mitzvah?
Later.
Later on. They both can agree to that. Why? Because mitzvah srichas kavana. They both can agree to that. But Rav Huna says, so therefore Rav Huna says, I'm being mekayim the mitzvah later on, and therefore I make the bracha later on. Just one second. However, Rav Chista says, the bracha is not recited on the kiyum ha-mitzvah, it's recited on the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah. And when am I doing the Maaseh HaMitzvah for the very first time? When am I doing it? At Karpas. I'm eating Maror. So when you engage in an action of a mitzvah, despite the fact that I don't necessarily fulfill the mitzvah, the Birchat HaMitzvah is connected to the action of the mitzvah. Not the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And this machloikis, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, in effect, is expressed through the machloikis between Tosfot and the Bahag about dipping your hands into a river. Do you say al tevilat yadayim, or do you say al netilat yadayim?
I don't see how it's analogous.
Why not? Al tevilat yadayim, why do I say al tevilat yadayim? Because the ma'aseh which I'm doing at that moment is tevila. Even though there is no mitzvah of tevilas yadayim. The rabbinic decree is netilat yadayim. But in this particular case, I am not doing netila because I don't have a cup. So I dip my hands in.
You make a bracha at all if you're not doing the...
Because they want, okay, so you can say, don't make a bracha. Okay, but the Bahag said, make a bracha. And I can't explain why, But that's what he says. You're about to eat bread. I want you to make a bracha. Wash your hands and make a bracha. So here too, according to Rav Huna, the Birchas HaMitzvah is related to the Kiyum HaMitzvah. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is later on, after you eat matzah, that's when you eat maror. Therefore you say, Alachilas maror, in the middle of the Seder. However, Rav Chisda says, you're doing the Maisa HaMitzvah early on. So if I'm doing something that is the equivalent of the action of the mitzvah, you make the bracha right there and then. Yes?
Okay, two things. First of all, I may hate this question. What's the psak? So if we're actually at a river, we're supposed to... Which bracha do we say? I'm sorry, but I always normally say al tefilas yadayim.
Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong. I didn't check the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim because I couldn't care less about that tonight. That's the question that I'm trying to wean you away from.
I know. It's good.
That's all.
But I do. We didn't want to. It happens where you have it, you don't try.
That's if you have no water whatsoever. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch as well. But if you have water, first prior, it's preferable to dip your hands than to just hold it with the silver foil. Yes.
So does this now have to do at all with the lulav and etrog? The fact that we turn the etrog upside down so that we don't leave it.
Excellent question. Excellent question. Tosfos is going to talk about that's one of my cases tonight. Excellent question. What?
So why is it different than lighting?
Lighting the candles, we know what the mitzvah is. To light the candles.
Right.
Now normally you make the birchat hamitzvah before you do the action. The concern by Hadlakat Neirot is that if you say Asher Kedishana b'mitzvotav, it's already Shabbos. How are you going to light them? Therefore, it's an exception to the rule. You make it right after you lit the mitzvah. Right after you did the action.
So once you'll go through the Asher.
That's all. Yeah.
Which is why on Yom Tov some people actually do it the other way.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are many by Yom Tov who make the bracha first. Because you're allowed to light a light on Yom Tov. Correct. So even if you accept Yom Tov by making the bracha, lehadlik ner shel Yom Tov, you're allowed to light a candle from an existing candle. And truth is, according to absolute law, you're allowed to strike a new match on Yom Tov.
We don't.
Yes. But we don't, the Rabbanan said, don't do that. But according to Torah law, when we say that Havara is Mutter on Yontif, it means you're allowed to strike a match. But the Chachamim didn't want us to spend 80 hours a day on Yom Tov trying to rub two stones together and create a fire. That's why. That's the only reason. But technically, you're allowed to. Technically. Good. So we see this case, the Machlokes Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Tosfos claims that it revolves around mitzvahs tzrichos or ain't tzrichos kavana, and others disagree with that and say this case has nothing to do with mitzvahs tzrichos kavana. It's rooted in another debate. Good. Excellent. Good. Now, go to page number 3, which is the Me'iri commenting on this Gemara. The Me'iri, commenting on this Gemara. The name of the Me'iri's book is called the Beit HaBichira. The name of his book is called Beit HaBichira. However, his name is Menachem HaMe'iri. That's his name.
What century did he live?
He was at the end of the 14th century. He's one of the last, if not the last, Rishon. And he was a great note taker. A great note taker. He quotes everybody. And then he sometimes throws in his own opinion as well. But he is an excellent compiler of all of the shitot on a given issue. And he wrote extensively all over Shas. So the Me'iri writes, Kol Shiyesham Shar Yirakot Vichazeret, anytime that there is other vegetables plus maror. Ein safek, there is no doubt, sha'al ha'yirakot mevarech borei pri adama, ve'al ha'chazeret, chazeret is the Mishnaic term for maror, acha sha'achar ha'matzah, shehi ikar mitzvat maror, you make the bracha al achilas maror. Ve'ein sarich lachzor ulevarech bahen borei pri adama lebirchas ha'ana, Shekvar niftar ba b'shel yirak, shar yirako. You don't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for eating a piece of petrushka or eating maror. You don't have to thank God for the great taste of the maror, because I already thank God for the taste that I'm enjoying from vegetables when I said borei pri adama by karpas. Aval kishein sham shar yirakot. But when there aren't any other vegetables, v'hu mitabel bechazeret af barishona, and he is dipping in the maror the very first time already, and I would imagine that the Meiri agrees with Rambam that the dipping is not in salt water, but rather in charoset, like the Rambam Shita is, and therefore you look like you're actually doing maror at karpas time. Ketzad ya'aseh, what should you do? Nechluku bar Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. There is a machlokis Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Sheledas Rav Huna, af bezu mevarech tchila borei pri hagafen, it should be saying obviously borei pri hadama, v'al hashniya al achilas maror. So on the first eating of the maror, you just say borei pri hadama. On the second eating of maror, you say al achilas maror. The Rav Chista, and Rav Chista says mevarech al harishona borei pri ho'adama, page 4, borei pri ho'adama, vi'al al achilas maror. And you also say al achilas maror at karpas. The al hashniya, and on the second dipping, mitabel ba below bracha. You dip it in, but you don't make any bracha when you eat maror under those circumstances. The Nirin Hadvarim, and he, the Meiri, agrees with Tosafot. Shebe mitzvos tzrichos kavana, o ein mitzvos tzrichos kavana nechlatu. That Rav Huna and Rav Chista are arguing, not the way I said it last 5 minutes, whether you make a bracha on the ma'aseh ha-mitzvah or on the kiyum ha-mitzvah. No. They are arguing much more fundamentally, namely, do we require kavana or not? Sheledas Rav Huna, mitzvot tzrichos kavana. According to Rav Huna, mitzvot tzrichos kavana. Therefore, when you ate karpas, did you have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of maror? No. Therefore, you have to make the bracha later on. And you're going to have in mind later on to be mekayim the mitzvah of maror. Umeyata, lo yatsa yedei chovat maror barishona. Therefore, according to Rav Huna, under no circumstances did you fulfill the mitzvah of maror when you were eating karpas. Ho'il velo kivein ba latzeit, because you had no intention to fulfill the mitzvah of maror at karpas, kumo shebiyarnu lemala. V'tzorich levarech alzu hashniya, and therefore you have to say al achilas maror on the second thing later on in the meal. Veheshivo Rav Chista, and Rav Chista disagrees and says v'chila achar shemile kreso mimena yachzor v'yavarech aleha. After you already stuffed yourself at karpas with maror, you're going to make a bracha later on again on maror? That's ridiculous. Shehu sover mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. Rav Chista is of the opinion that mitzvot don't need kavana. So what do you need in order to fulfill the mitzvah of maror according to Rav Chista?
To
Just eat it. And he did. He ate maror. Hence, when do you make the Berachas HaMitzvah? At Karpas. Because that's the time that you are fulfilling the mitzvah of maror. Fine. So, if I were to use this Gemara as a basis, how would you now formulate the halacha? What do you think a code, Rambam, or Shulchan Aruch, or the Tur, might be stating? How do I resolve the debate from this Gemara? What would I use? I would use my general rule of psak. Whenever two people, Amoraic sages, argue, we have rules who we paskin like. So if I paskin like Rav Huna, automatically I mean I paskin in effect that mitzvot tzrichot kavana. If we were to paskin like Rav Chista when he argues with Rav Huna, we would be paskining mitzvot ain't tzrichot kavana. We'll see whether or not that works out later on in another shir or two when we actually see how the codes adopt the final practice about whether mitzvos tzrichos or ain't tzrichot kavana. But according to the Meiri, the machloket revolves around Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Forget about all of the other sugyot, says the Meiri. I don't care what the other sugyot is. We have two people, we know they argue, and we know we're going to, we have certain rules and regulations, and we're going to use those rules and regulations how to paskin. Yes?
Why is no one bringing to this discussion about, with the purpose and the moral, so the idea that when you're eating, that we, that we saw with the...
Good. He doesn't believe that distinction.
No one is bringing them into this conversation.
What?
No one is bringing.
No, we saw people who I brought it showed you last week. People who made who said that. I'll show you the Ran who brings that argument.
Brings it into this.
Yes, that they're not arguing about mitzvah srichas kavana or not. They're arguing about something else. And one of the reasons why he says is because it's a mitzvah of eating, and a mitzvah of eating, everyone says you don't need kavana.
Right.
You don't need kavana. Yes.
Seder, and again, maybe it's just had the kids. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, I'm asking. When we say just the bracha, where we have in mind, nothing to do with achli al maror, we specifically say we're not going to say it later, but have in mind. Does that have anything to do with this concept of having in mind?
No, that's a different issue. That issue is, do I have to make another Borei Pri Adama on Maror? Or can I? Good. But that Kavana does not mean Mitzvos Trichos Kavana. That means that I have it in mind, because if I didn't have it in mind, maybe I would be required to say Borei Pri Adama before I eat Maror, right before I say Al Achilas Maror. It's a different issue.
A lot happens between those two things.
Correct. Good. That's many people say it's a hefsek.
It's a huge hefsek.
That is correct. That's correct. But hefsek normally is not an issue when your mind is fixated on it. Everybody knows that eventually I'm going to be eating maror. So whether you kept it, everybody knows. So of course, when I said borei pri adama at Karpas, everybody knows I'm going to be eating maror again. Yes.
If we decide that mitzvah, do
we eat? Yes.
Does that mean if you don't have kavana?
Okay. Yes. Good. We will have to discuss that. Once we paskin, if we hold mitzvah srichas kavana, as Karo will in Shulchan Aruch, yes, if you didn't have kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah, you have to repeat the mitzvah. Correct. Now, sometimes the rabbis say, you know what? We're airheads all the time.
Everyone.
So everyone's an airhead.
Exactly.
So when you don't have kavana for Kriya Shema, so technically what do you have to do? You have to read Shema again. So the Mechaber says, well, you think the second time is going to be any better? It's not going to be any better. So it's kind of a waste of time. It's a very defeatist attitude and just recognizes the world situation that people mouth the words without taking them seriously. That is correct. Yes, I know. Yes, I'm not saying no. I'm not saying no. Okay, that's also true. But the hope is that at least when you made the bracha, you knew what you were saying.
Yeah.
Why am I doing this? Because God asked me to do it. That's what the kavana is. To do a mitzvah, l'shem mitzvah. To do the action of the mitzvah, l'shem mitzvah. That's the function, the purpose of kavana. That's the purpose of kavana.
How did you explain last week about the person who gets his massive shtuft into his mouth? He didn't have kavana for that.
Correct. That sugya believes mitzvos ain't srichas kavana. Or that, or you would be Yotze. The Gemara says you are Yotze. So either that is illustrating the rule, or that's a mitzvah of eating, and therefore it's an exception to the rule. Really, tzrichas kavana. But mitzvahs of eating don't need kavana. That's, so it depends how you approach it. But there is no doubt, the Gemara says, and the Rambam Paskins, kafu parsiyim le'echol matzah, yotza. You are mikayim the mitzvah of matzah. And I don't think any, you didn't make a bracha, that's for sure. You are, and that's what's happening. Somebody shoved it down your throat, and you're mikayim the mitzvah. Probably did not have much kavana. I would say definitely didn't have any kavana. Yes?
What about mitzvah between people, between man and God?
Good. Okay, so there, that's a separate discussion. Whether or not mitzvah shebein adam lachaveroi, do they require kavana or not? There's a machloikis about it. And we generally say the mitzvah shebein adam lachaveroi don't require kavana based on the fact that the intention is to help somebody. So who cares what's running through my mind? Just do the darn thing and help the person.
And you would be credit for the mitzvah even if you weren't intending to.
Correct. Correct. But maybe we'll have a chance to look at a sugya or two that deals with that. It's an excellent question. Excellent question. Okay. There is one more sugya that I want to do, and that was the sugya of the lulav, right? The sugya of the lulav. But it'll take me another half hour to do so. So I'm going to resume with this next week. Pages 5 and 6. I will start with that. A tremendous machloikis between Rava and Abaye. And that'll illustrate another key factor in our Gemaras. It often depends who makes a statement as to whether it's given halachic weight or not. There are many Amoraic sages who are not terribly well known, and they were not recognized as the outstanding Talmudic scholars of their generation. It's like everybody else. You go into yeshiva today, there are outstanding students and plenty of ordinary students. So when a statement is presented in the Gemara, if it's Rava and Abaye, it makes a very big difference as to whether or not that's Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Because they're not, because Rav Huna and Rav Chisda were lesser scholars than Rava and Abaye. They were later. They were later. And at the time of Abaye and Rava, the Gemara is going to switch its policy and state that the halacha is always like the last authority. Until Rava, who lived in 4th century, 350, 360, we did not paskin on who the last one was. We paskin based on we thought, you know, had the more compelling logic, whatever it is. But after Abaye and Rava, the halacha is Hilchasa Kibasra'a. So what name is going to pop up every single time in a sugya, and the halacha will be established according to him, because he's the last Amoraic sage. Ravashi. When Ravashi opens up his mouth, nothing entered the Talmud after Ravashi. So the thinking is, he knew all of the logic of every previous generation, and he rejected it. Must be that there is a good reason for that. So we'll see that illustrated as we begin next week with Rav and Abaye in the case of the lulav.
Why wouldn't you think it's the one closer to the beginning?
That's the way. That was the logic until then. That the halacha is according to the earlier one because he's closer to the source.
Right.
Good. That's the way they did it. And they changed it. They changed it. Okay. Right? We'll see. Yes. Yep.